From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of November 2022. I'm Extensionist Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net out of Newmarket, Indiana. We'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University will join us to take an in-depth look at Kansas, some of the cropping conditions there, and what he expects farmers will plant, but more importantly, the ethanol and agricultural energies as well, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn settled today at $6.65¾, down 3 cents. The March at $6.69½, a penny and 3/4 lower. And May corn down 1¾ as well at $6.68 a bushel. January soybeans $14.59½, up 2¼. The March 3¼ cents higher at $14.66. And next year's November soybeans 1 cent higher at $13.96 a bushel. Bean meal at $408.50, down 5.10, and the bean oil at $76.54, 47 cents higher. Wheat futures soft red at $7.57¾, a penny higher for the day. The hard red at $9.01, down 3¾ cents. Live cattle futures at $154.80, 12½ cents higher. Feeders at $178, up $1.12½, and lean hogs were down 60 cents, 100 pounds at $84.15. The wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.28½, that's a penny and 0.2 cents higher, and crude oil up 73 cents at $77.96. Let's check in now with Wayne Nelson at AgMarket.net out of Newmarket, Indiana, to see what's been happening in the marketplace. Good Tuesday to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, well, it's not a beautiful day. It's a little cloudy, but it's not rainy and drizzly and quite as dull as they were the last couple of days. So a little better day, and you know, we had a little green on the screen for change today.
A little bit of green, but it was a pretty quiet day, it appeared, in Chicago.
It sure was. I'll tell you, you know, we started off with a little strength in the beans. Cordonera cut his corn and soy crop from out of Argentina, 1 million metric tons each. That added a little bit of pep to the beans for a while this morning. And then there was across the news wire that the New York Fed president's going to speak tomorrow, and that sort of tapered things down.
Yeah, how are exports for corn and beans?
We're doing real well on the beans as far as our projections, and we're doing really poor on our corn exports, trying to make what the government's projected to do it. So that's one of the reasons is corn's had such a hard time, you know, wanting to go back up and take that next step up and break out of the trend line.
I shouldn't dismiss the expectations from the Fed, by the way. What does the trade thinks up?
Well, I mean, depending on what they say tomorrow and everything, but they really feel that they're probably going to continue to raise rates at least one more time here at their December meeting. And that, of course, you know, is not what is really good for the dollar going up is not a real good thing for us on our exchange rate. And trying to get into this grain market, which we're already outpriced on in corn and beans in the world right now. So it's a little bit negative to the farm aspect as we look at everything that way.
Does it appear to you that the trade has dismissed the unrest in China as it's related to COVID? And whether that be unrest or simply that COVID is running rampant, potentially, I suppose, it's hard to know, in that country at this point?
You know, one of the lines we looked at today was that basically things have quieted down, doesn't look as bad as it did, and everybody's sort of forgetting what's all happening over there. Now, you know, the comment, the lead of the story said China's tensions ease. And, you know, we're not sure if they've just quieted down a little bit or whether they have quieted them down a lot.
What are your expectations for the rest of this week?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to be watching the crude oil. You know, we've got that announcement coming up out of for the oil on OPEC that way to see if they do reduce their oil like that. We've seen, you know, the crude creep back really fast here, along with the idea that they might cut their production here to try to keep the price around $90. So that way. But, you know, the palm oil's kicked back up. We've seen a 2 weeks high. And that's looking, and crude is $4 off Monday's lowest prices. So, you know, can we maybe get a little bounce in the corn out of that? Tomorrow is first notice day on stuff, and we'll see how much gets delivered on.
And one final note before I let you go. Yesterday afternoon, the president of Mexico met with Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack. Didn't sound as if there was much clarity about GM corn crossing the border, other than, well, it's not clear whether it's about white corn or yellow corn or both, and it's still an issue.
It's still an issue, but it does look like they're coming back and saying no human GMO corn for human consumption, Todd. And that means most of the yellow corn goes into their feed to their livestock, and that will probably still be in. But they are holding very strong on basically the white corn. You know, we noticed that yesterday they did buy a lot of white corn from South Africa, and because that was coming in cheaper than the U.S. white corn. Because you get down to our southwest, that's where everything's real expensive because we had a really bad crop. So, our white corn was way overpriced compared to the South African white corn.
Hey, thank you much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with AgMarket.net out of New Market, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, yesterday, President Biden asked Congress to step into the railway strike situation, hoping that they will pass legislation to keep workers on the job. During Monday's White House press briefing, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre talked about the president's call for Congress to use their authority to force the rail workers to keep working, something that has happened multiple times in the past 60 years.
From the beginning, the president has been very clear. Shutdown is unacceptable because of the impact that it would have on jobs and families and farms and businesses and communities just across the country. The president is directly involved in the process and has been engaged with his team and also has had conversation with members of Congress on this particular issue in case resolving the issue falls to them as it has 18 times in the last 60 years.
Former USDA Farm Service Agency head Richard Ford recently commented that because of the broad economic impact, he expects Congress to intervene.
I look at everything from an agricultural lens, but there are a bunch of other segments of the economy that would be affected, right? So, you know, I would be less inclined to think that Congress would act if it was just one segment of the economy, but it stretches across all segments. So I would think somebody's going to do something to get this averted.
However, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst last week mentioned she would have preferred to not have to see Congress intervene in the situation.
We want to make sure that those railroad workers, many of them are working a lot of overtime away from home, that they are getting the time off that they need. And there is a worker shortage, which is impacting all the way around. And so I know this is a very difficult problem to have, but we hope that they can come up with those solutions and that Congress does not have to intervene at the 11th hour. So I'm just encouraging all of those groups to come together, do the right thing, make sure that you're treating your workers fairly, and making sure that we can continue to see our goods move by rail.
Even though the strike would not happen until December the 9th, the railway would start to prepare as early as December the 5th. Earlier today, after meeting with President Biden, Republican House Leader McCarthy said he expects that the legislation will pass during this lame duck session.
Right when farmers need to ship their goods and others, we have to rush something to the floor. I think it will pass.
That was Kevin McCarthy from earlier today talking about the potential to pass legislation to keep railway workers on the job past their strike date, December the 9th. Other news from the Biden administration includes a meeting yesterday that did not add much clarity to Mexico's proposed ban of GM corn imports into that country from the United States. That could happen as early as 2024. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack said that he does expect to use the free trade agreement, the USMCA guidelines, to make sure that U.S. corn continues to cross the border if an agreement cannot be reached with Mexico before the 2024 deadline. It's a Tuesday. We always check the agricultural energies. This week, we're joined by Dan O'Brien. He's with Kansas State University. You can find him online. Look for at KSU Grains on Twitter if you'd like. Hi, Dan. Thanks for being with us. I take it you're pretty busy today.
Things are happening, Todd, that's for sure.
Tell me about what you've been discussing with the folks there in Kansas as it relates to the ethanol industry and corn usage.
Well, I think what's happening in Kansas is part of the broader story of generally okay to decent ethanol usage. Our feed usage out in this part of the world with the short crop is holding up pretty well also. And we see it as evidence in again, following the drought that we had out here in the Western Corn Belt, that corn basis levels driven largely by feeders are strong. At the ethanol plants, you have pretty good cash prices still. You've got the number two yellow corn actually in your neck of the woods averaging, this would be on yesterday's market close, is $6.78 out in Kansas. Again, with this kind of desperate tight supply situation we have, we're at $7.75 and Nebraska's $7.36 as an average price. The highs in Kansas reaching above $8, day 14. So you have basically the ethanol industry competing strongly with the livestock feed industry to gather supplies. I even think, Todd, out here we're seeing grain sorghum entering into the mix in a significant manner. We have pretty strong grain sorghum basis bids out here to the west, and for a good number of years, almost all that sorghum went, a large proportion went to the export markets. Well, here now our exports are just struggling, and that's a very polite word for what's happening in terms of grain sorghum exports, almost nothing, but yet our basis levels for sorghum are going up. So I get reports, offhanded reports. You know, the best ones that you and I get, Todd, from actually talking to producers, they're telling me the DDGs coming out of some of the plants don't look like corn DDGs. They look pretty red, you know. So sorghum must be coming into that situation as well as a feed grain and holding up sorghum prices as well. So interesting to watch. We've looked at plant profitability estimates, and we're about break even. In looking at the numbers, we looked at the figures through the week ending November the 21st, and overall plant profitability, basically we're down 1 cent, and that's before you account for corn oil coming in. You know, by estimates from the USDA Ag Marketing Service, that on a per gallon basis, we have about 15, 16 cents per gallon of corn oil value. You add that to the plants that do have corn oil sales, then instead of 1 cent loss, then you're covering your costs and a little bit. So anyway, interesting to look at all that. And the overall ethanol usage numbers are they had gone down about 2-3 weeks ago. They've kind of recovered now. So I think we're in quoting a Western Corn Belt. I guess in wisdom, we're quote percolating along in terms of holding up plant, even at these high prices, we seem to be doing decently and moving forward. So without a lot of plant closures and issues like that would really upset the industry out here.
The carryout for this year will be something like 1.182 billion bushels or thereabouts, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Consumption domestically clearly pushing the price of corn. Do you suppose that will continue through the winter months?
Sure seems that way. In fact, we have the December 9th WASDE report coming up, and with the weakness we've seen in corn, grain sorghum, wheat exports, a fair number of folks are thinking that the USDA may decide to reduce their estimates for U.S. corn exports. So I wouldn't be surprised that if they reduce the export numbers, leave everything else the same, that 1.182, et cetera, paribus, everything else the same, it would go up by however much they reduce the ending stocks, that they reduce the export numbers. Still, domestic use going so strongly that I guess for that, for right now, we can be, if you're a corn producer, you can be thankful that domestic industries, domestic usage is holding up pretty well, even at these high prices, and still giving us opportunities for prices down, for good markets down the way. What I wonder, and probably your folks are wondering also, but us in the Western Corn Belt especially, I wonder where we'll be in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months of this market year while we're waiting for that new crop to come. You know, we've bought aggressively to try to bridge the gap and gain supplies to have in store. But if we get tight at the end of in this spring and summer, they're really where do we turn? So that could be a very tight situation. I guess we'll have to see. And that it'd be exacerbated if we don't have a good crop coming on out into the summer of 2023. So a lot of volatility, a lot of farm financial positions and conditions, all depending on what happens with this coming crop here in the U.S. and in the coming year.
Before I let you go, I would like to talk to you a little bit about the coming crop year, the acreage mix potentially in Kansas. Sorghum seems like it might be a good option for producers there. I'm wondering if many are thinking about that, especially given the dry conditions. And what does the wheat crop look like at this point as it went into dormancy? And does that matter very much, do you suppose?
Well, first on the wheat, the USDA came out with their projections for wheat acreage. We planted acreage to be up about just under 4%. But when you talk to them, that's planted acreage. It's not harvested acreage. and that's an acknowledgement that we planted a fair amount of wheat with thankfully a high initial planting price in mind, you know, the $8.79, I think it was, for wheat. We'll see how those acres hold up right now. They haven't caught a lot of moisture. I think there is some moisture forecast. We're in that situation that Iowa found itself in the last couple of years, where according to the drought monitor, our soil profile is just pretty dry. But if we're fortunate, we keep getting topsoil moisture, rains, et cetera, to nurse us along, we could still come up with a decent crop. But boy, you're living on the edge, living by faith out in Western Kansas to have that type of timely rain. And where that takes us for corn and sorghum, again, if we're worried about drought, sorghum would certainly be a way to go. Still under irrigation, probably go with corn, given the price situation. And we'll see with fertilizer and all these things. So you asked me a straightforward question and talked for 5 minutes on all the contingencies. We have strong wheat. Strong wheat acres may not all survive, but as for corn versus sorghum on dry land, sorghum certainly probably given a look at. On irrigation, probably stay with corn, just with the possibility of a higher possibility of getting a crop out in 2023.
Then finally, turn your attention to the economy. Are you concerned as it relates to agricultural energies, ethanol usage, that gasoline usage might continue to drop in the coming year?
Well, that's the economic wisdom that we've seen. Now, so far, again, when we look at stocks of ethanol, we haven't started to rebuild stocks in any major way. Again, we'd rebuild stocks if demand really, really weakens. I don't know quite what to make of my worries about the future, but yet, in terms of where the ethanol industry go, but yet we're looking at 301, 305, 320, 310 for gasoline in places where we were banging on the doors of for a good part of the last several months at $3.80, $3.90 at $4. So I don't know how to interpret the lowering of gasoline demand apparently with what the future may hold for ethanol down the road. I think we're still blending ethanol prices, still holding up decently. So RBOB seems like it's I try to follow those things. The gasoline spot price has been falling off, yet the ethanol price holding decent. So I guess we have the RF, the renewable fuel standard to thank for that, probably in terms of that inelastic demand. We'll see where it all goes next year. And hopefully all of our fears are overblown and we still have at least a decent economy going forward. But we'll see.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with Kansas State University Extension. Let's check the weather forecast for the United States now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thank you for being with us. Can you recap what conditions are like, drought conditions are like, in the western United States and other parts of the U.S. and why that may or may not be important and change when we come to the spring?
Well, yeah, one thing about drought conditions, especially in parts of the central and western United States, it's very difficult in the winter season to have enough precipitation to, let's say, break those droughts. But you always are hopeful when you start to see some precipitation falling in some really dry areas. And we saw that over Thanksgiving week with some rain and snow over portions of central and west Texas and into eastern New Mexico. And then some of those rains went into parts of Oklahoma. So some of those wheat areas getting a real shot in the arm there. But if you look at the drought monitor, you find that most of the central and west United States is still under drought conditions. And as I said earlier, it's hard to not go through winter and expect those to go away. But one thing we're watching very carefully is that La Nina out in the Pacific. That's been the main culprit for the drought in the West. And we continue to see signs it's slowly fading, slowly. But by spring, if it's gone, that does bode well for those drought conditions in the West to get better.
And that is something you'll watch mostly during the month of November. If it doesn't happen, is there still time for it to fade, or does that dissipate?
Timing is critical. Right now, we're thinking that it's going to be technically still a La Nina into early January. But by February, March, April, going to what we would call a neutral status, all the latest indications and what we've observed with sea surface temperatures are showing that trend that some of the modeling showed, which is that at the end of this year, it's starting to weaken.
Now turn your attention to the forecast. What do things look like in the broad perspective of the Corn Belt from the Dakotas all the way to Ohio over the next week or so?
Well, do certainly expect some winter weather conditions. We are going to see a wave of colder weather go across the northern plain states, then into the northern and central areas of the Corn Belt here. As we get into the second half of the week, pretty cold temperatures are going to be marching in. You know, the week has been relatively mild here to get things started, but that's going to end. Where we do see some rain and snow, it's going to be in those northern and northwest areas of the Corn Belt across the both North and South Dakota, parts of Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin. They're going to see some snowfall. Precipitation chances look really good, especially in those northwest Corn Belt areas. We will see some showers over the eastern Corn Belt, southern Corn Belt, but for the central Corn Belt, while it certainly is looking quite cold with this cold shot coming on in, it does not necessarily have much precipitation with it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.